This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
These atmospheres in Montreal, being the enemy there, but being here and not getting the cheers that usually get when we play here. And I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience. This whole week has just been such a memorable one, and something that, you know, I've learned so much personally. And just to be a part of this group and this team and be a part of USA Hockey has been, you know, better than I expected.
Brady Tkachuk, who made himself some fans. Brady Tkachuk, who was involved in the Paul Hamilton Twitter poll dust-up. Paul said he would trade Darlene for Brady Tkachuk straight up. I put a Twitter poll about that.
Yeah.
That's what I'll remember from this tournament, Joe. Everyone, Sabres fans, reminding everyone, we are still out here, as they all shouted. No, I would not do that.
Yeah. Well, even though there were a lot that voted that they would do that.
That's right. That's right. It's Jeremy and Joe, good morning. The Canadian team wins. Connor McDavid, a golden goal to win it.
Would like to see Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Ottawa's in good shape right now. And they actually could end up playing Toronto in the first round.
All right.
Which, wouldn't that be hilarious? If Ottawa just walks in and beats the Leafs in the first round now.
That'd be great.
With Brady Tkachuk doing it. Yeah. Smash it. All the way through.
So, if you want to call us on the Four Nations, go for it. You know, momentum of hockey being front and center, hockey taking center stage, all that. You want to, we have open phone lines.
If there was a guy that impressed you that you kind of discovered in this tournament also.
Dare we do a thing where we ask, hey, hockey fan that remembered what it was like to feel alive, you got any idea on what on earth the Sabres might do to make you feel that way again? Because yesterday out for this game, there were a couple people I talked to that brought up the Paul idea of trading Brady Tkachuk for Rasmus Dahlin. And a few of them said, I don't even care if they lose the trade. It would be something. I would feel alive again. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reason to make, you know, a bad trade if you think it's a bad trade. But really, what we kind of started to get into it a little bit in the first hour. What on earth is the Sabres move? Lindy steps aside at the end of the year because he's not going to do it again, and Seth Appert's their coach. Kevin Adams is still the GM. I have no – what on earth? Everybody that watched that game, Sabres fans that went out, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going for the game? Blah, blah, blah. You remembered what it was like to feel alive. It was like we were cicadas that came out of the ground after 17 years and had a party, and then it's over. What could they do? What could happen to make you feel alive again? I know you say, like, oh, just win. But if you chronicle the whole drought, we've done it all. We've watched them sink to the bottom in the interest of finding great players, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that, you know, was a mess and didn't work. And now we watch those guys play last night.
Right.
So, like, what?
And win cups.
What idea is possibly left?
Well, there probably isn't one, right? Like, at least not of what you've done already. So, isn't it, all right, we'll pick which one you want to try again. Go through the drought. Which one you want to try again? You want to try going to the bottom again? You want to try you want to try trading every prospect you own and floor it the way Murray did out of the tank? Do you want to be patient and do nothing? That's a lot of these years. Do you want to be the youngest team in the league? Do you want to get as tough as possible? That's the very early drought, right? That's Darcy at the end. Let's just get as tough as possible and not care about how good the player is. What do you want to do? You want a star goalie? That might be the thing they haven't done.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned when Hellebuyck was available.
Was he, if he was available, like, right, that would have been a thing.
He probably wasn't. But like that might be an idea they haven't done. That might be the only one. So unless you want to go do that, like, pick your favorite idea. What do you want? What do you want them to run it back with? I don't think there is a coach that's going to make me feel like they're going to turn things around. I don't know, especially one that's realistic. But who on earth, if John Cooper showed up tomorrow and said, I'm going to just coach the Buffalo Sabres, I want a new challenge. Like, okay, they'd probably be better. But what? I just think they're going to go from what they are, dead last in the East, to suddenly they're like top three in the division. How much do we really think any coach would make?
Right, that's what I mean. Like, what?
It's about the players for me.
What could they do? Not devote an offseason to signing, all due respect, your Beck Malensteins? Like, you're not going to get better on the fourth line?
Right. Like, enough of that. Like, your third and fourth line, you want them to be better, but that's not going to be the fix right now. It's not going to be the fix, even if it's as good as they could be. You got to get more from your top player. So what could they do? Like, what they're probably going to do, or what they could, you know, I don't want to say probably, but there's so many Cousins rumors. Like, what are they going to do? Like, they're going to trade Cousins and Byram, right? They're going to look for hockey trades. Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period, I saw writing about them the other day. Like, they have no interest in picks and prospects. They're talking to teams about Cousins.
Good to not have interest in picks and prospects.
They're getting calls about Byram, but what's tough and what maybe, like, what he wrote is, even though they're very active in calling right now, is the reason you might want to bet against a trade is it's kind of, the trade that they want to make and need to make is kind of hard to accomplish. Even for, you know, for the Sabres, it's even harder to accomplish because it's getting the player to agree to it, and you might have wonders about, does the GM have the trigger finger to do it? But you want to trade Dylan Cousins. You want to trade Bo Byram. Okay. But you want an upgrade? Who's looking for that trade from you right now?
Yeah.
Detroit is calling you saying, oh, I'm interested in Dylan Cousins. And you're like, oh, I want Lucas Raymond. Like, what? It's like the guy in your fantasy league. Like, you're looking at their roster like, oh, you know, DK Metcalf looks pretty good. He's got a lot of receivers. Let me see if I can get DK Metcalf. And then you call him like, hey, what do you want for DK Metcalf? And his answer is Justin Jefferson. Like, that's a tough guy to deal with, I think, right now. And I feel like that's kind of what Kevin Adams is around the league. Because that's the only trade that makes sense.
Yeah. 803-0550. If you want to make it about the Four Nations or about the Sabres, you can. 803-0550. A comment in the chat on YouTube. I appreciate this point. I also want to point out how, while feeling alive might not be as far away as we think, AC writes in, hard to compare a singular team to a team full of the best players in the league to figure out what they could do to make you feel alive again. But the reality is, if the Sabres just had Ottawa's season right now, we would feel alive. And granted,
100%.
Granted, is that 12 points away? It's pretty far away in the standings.
Yeah, 13.
But it is a pretty low bar. They just, of course, you know, struggle to reach it. Dennis in Lockport is up next. Dennis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Hey, the game last night, and actually just the whole series, I'll tell you what, not being on a specific team, but watching really good hockey play, no matter who really got through that with the winner or loser out of this, I think they were both represented.
We lost Dennis.
Good game and a good series. And honestly, as for the Sabres, I think Pegula needs to start looking at this and saying, what does he really want with that team?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dennis. The hockey was great. even in moments where it wasn't wide open, where the forechecking, the backchecking, the defensive hockey, like it was very much a game you could just appreciate everything that was being done.
Yeah,
and I would also say, you know, I have a thing where I love to compare a sport to a different sport, and it's probably stupid, but it felt like I was watching a game between two great Premier League teams where, you know, in the Premier League, what you get is one team that's great attacking a team that wants to park the bus because they don't have the talent. That happens a lot. One team possesses the ball for 70% of the game. The other team just hopes to score on the counterattack. That happens a lot in the Premier League. But then you get two powerhouses, and they just go back and forth, and they throw haymakers at each other.
Yeah.
And that's what last night felt like. Nobody's out here thinking, let's play a good road period.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just pucks to the net. It was legitimate, great players trading haymakers back and forth. And that doesn't always mean, you know, grade A scoring chances. It just means the talent, the skill was on full display on every shift.
Right. And I don't know that you can't pick up anything for the Sabres. I mean, I don't know what they do to get these things, but it's just you just got to have some of the best players in the world. You don't need all of them. It's not all-star hockey. You're not going to get all of them, but you need some of them. And, you know, there's a four-team tournament that takes place yesterday, and you had one player that really was in the tournament. You know, Joki Haru made the team because of, you know, injuries and because Finland just doesn't have defensemen. But in a tournament that is filled with the best players in the world, you didn't have anybody on the ice last night that plays for your hockey team. You had two guys that used to, and three guys, if you want to count the draft pick, Hagel. And you had Dahlin. That's it. In an entire tournament, you got one guy. So you just need, it's kind of like the Bills. You just need more of that. You need more star players. And I just don't feel like they are just going to go out and get them. Like, why it's so down in the dumps for me right now with them is I'm not expecting them to do anything. Like, I think the way they get, the only avenue they have to getting better is I'm just going to sit here, kick my feet up, and wait for, like, just pray that Owen Power gets three times better. And that Zach Benson becomes a 60-point player. And that, like, one of the 7,000 prospects from Rochester turns into a really good player like Kulik is. Like, I don't know what else you can do.
You really might be at that, the kid that, whatever, who knows where they end up picking. But right now, they're going to pick up the top five. That a kid from Brampton turns out to be, you know, the next great offensive dynamo.
And, like, I don't believe that that's the right way to do it or the most likely path to becoming a great team. I just think with all the circumstances around them, I don't know what else there is.
You know, this is not quite let's get stupid, but should Josh Allen be an ambassador for them? Hey,
jeez.
Let's send Josh. Josh, call this guy for, you know, he's a free agent. Like, I like it here.
I think Sabre fans are trying to get him to do that with Marner, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's a Bills fan?
Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul.
Guys, I mean, Marner's the guy. You want to change the franchise, and this is way above Kevin Adams' pay grade. Terry Pegula needs to bribe Mitchell Marner this offseason. He's a free agent. Offer him money that no one else can. Offer him perks. Part of the reason the Mets got Juan Soto over the Yankees is they gave him every perk he could think of. They give him security for his family. They give him a box. They give him this. They give him that. Terry Pegula is a very rich man. You want to change the outlook on things, Terry? You want to fill your building? Bring in a legitimate superstar who pushes every winger in our team down a slot because he comes in and he's immediately our best winger, unquestioned. And not just stop with Mitchell Marner. Fill your damn team out with veteran NHL players so you're not playing a 20-year-old in your top six. Instead of three 22-year-old, 21-year-old, 20-year-old, we can't keep throwing the youngest team out there and expecting them to make the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Mitchell Marner comes in and makes us better. Retain Zucker. Retain Greenway. Extend Tuck. Stop depending on 20-year-old children to drag you to the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Guys, have a great show.
Thanks, Paul. Marner had a great game.
He did.
But Marner had...
He had a very good game.
Great two assists. Great plays. Marner had a great game.
I mean, I just don't believe, though, they're going to be different in that way. Like, I think they're going to be kids. I think they're going to be kids next year. I think, because unless there's a huge philosophical shift or they find all those players that want to be willing to come here. I'd love to have Mitch Marner. I'm not believing for a second that he's going to sign an 8-year contract with the Buffalo Sabres this summer. Like, it seems insane to me to think that he would actually do that. You want to send Josh Allen to his house? Maybe that changes things.
Could it really? Could it really? This is where we are. Could it really work?
I mean, it might get you in the it might get you in the conversation, but no, it's not going to be the end all be all why he would do it, right?
Sounds like bulletin board material to me. You're telling Josh he can't do it? Watch him get that done. No, I don't know. I don't know if it would work.
Like what they're going to have more kids come up. Kulik's a rookie this year. Next year, like, Oslund, I guess, is like point per game player in the AHL for the last month and a half. Like, that's a first round pick. Eventually he'll join, and then that's going to bring my average age back down. And I'm going to be right back to, guys, the youngest team in the league. Like, they're just going to be in this endless cycle until finally, like, five of them turn into great players and we can stop this madness with, like, it's just the rookies that are going to be the difference. They have a rookie right now who's the number one center. Right? Like, he's doing great. Kulik's doing great. But
this gets to the point of if Tage is no longer in your center depth, then you might as well, like, start over again. You've lost Cousins. And if Tage is not a center, then your top two centers are what? Kulik and Konstantinov.
I don't know that Thompson can play wing long term. Right. Just because I think they need him to be a centerman. Unless they're going to get one. Again, like, but I just, I can't go, you keep hearing, I want to keep going back to unless they do this. But it's like, I can't even speak another breath after that because I don't have any confidence that it's actually going to happen. Especially for like an impact, important player. They traded a top 10 pick prospect away and they got a third line center. Like, that's the deal that they make. And maybe you just want another one of those, and that's fine. And McLeod's not bad, but I don't know. I don't know where they go.
803-0550. It was a great, great tournament. I hope they bring a couple things out of it. The NHL has not been one to change much. Marty Baron pointed out last night, and I mean, you think I'm kidding, and it's not a bit. I'm not just yelling to yell, that there were no coaches' challenges the entire tournament.
Oh.
That's right. Not nothing. That's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a play that was offside? I don't know, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They did not stop a game. They just kept going. They played the sport. No coaches' challenges. I'm sure the NHL won't see that and think that was good. But having home whites, you might see that. Getting color into arenas. There was a report that they might do that. They're looking into maybe exploring colored jerseys coming in again. Could you play color on color? Why can't we see blue against red?
Right.
This tournament was, every game that didn't involve Finland was color on color.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Can I have that? When the Dallas Stars come here, can I get the Sabres black and red against the Stars green?
Yeah.
What's stopping anybody? Let's have some fun. The 3-2-1 point system, can I have that? Do they want 10 minutes of 3-on-3? I mean, when we talked yesterday with Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com about that idea, he said he didn't think the players would go for 3-on-3 overtime. It is not that big of an ask. Is it?
Right.
It's 5 more minutes of 3-on-3 instead of staying out there for shootouts. My guess is you'd actually get to the room faster. Games would end earlier.
Yeah.
You just kept going instead of stopping and rolling out for a shootout.
Coach submits their lineup, and then the refs go over and submit it, and now we're going, one after the other.
I don't know. Is 3-on-3 really that taxing for guys worried about getting injury or load management? I don't know. I don't think so. So I just wonder what the NHL comes out of this tournament with and thinking they can improve on. One side effect of this tournament, and this is baked in as I watched, P.K. Subban was on debating Stephen A. Smith about hockey. Like, this is how you know they made it. Here's P.K. Subban on First Things First. Hockey made it onto the yell shows, the shouty shows.
Right.
And hockey made the NBA kind of take a real hard look at itself in a way that maybe they haven't before. The NBA All-Star game has been bad a lot. There's a reason it constantly changes formats.
Yeah.
But the NBA All-Star Game up against this tournament, granted, like the NHL has had bad All-Star Games too, but it led the NBA to say, oof, what are we doing? We've got a big problem here because our players don't invest in this. They don't care. It kind of got to the conversation about, this is what P.K. Subban was getting at, was your league sits its stars, and mm-hmm. hockey does not do that. And you could make a case to me if you want to that hockey should if it were smart, but there is no load management in the NHL. Connor McDavid plays 82 games.
Yeah.
If he's healthy. And I just wonder what comes out of the sports bubble that this was in when everybody kind of steps back and takes a look at what really happened.
Yeah. And I will continue to come back to just throw your flags on it, or you're just not – you're. If you don't do that, hasn't every league proven that like the era of an All-Star game is just over? It should just be over. They had their day and they were entertaining like before I was born, really, right? Like
yep.
I saw Oscar Robertson talking about like when he played in All-Star games and how competitive they were and they were fun when Dr. J's playing and whatnot, but no, it's been long enough now that we just see that it doesn't work. And, hey, if you want to have an event, you want to do what the Pro Bowl does, which is, like, not even a real football game anymore, like, I guess, have at it. But you could be doing something better. You could be doing something that's just international best on best. Like, that's really all I think you can do anymore if you're one of these leagues. If you want to have an event like that, that's the only way you're going to get it. You can offer the players money. You can offer them a different format. You can do whatever you want. We've got, like, how long? 15 years of sample size to tell us that in every single sport, these guys just aren't going to care about it.
Yeah.
Even if they're hockey players.
Right.
Kucherov last year. Even the hockey players aren't going to care about it. If it's Eastern Conference against Western Conference.
Well, the
or
more,
Team Chuck against Team Shaq. Or whoever. Team Chara against Lidstrom. That happened.
I think there's a natural All-Star game thing where the more gimmicky you make the game, the more the players realize, like, yeah, right, I don't have to take this seriously.
Right, yeah. That's a good point.
If the format is a gimmick, you're not going to get hardcore competitiveness in, you know, that format.
Dress it all up in patriotism. It's the only way you can do it.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe and WGR. Canada wins. Stinks.
Yeah. I've got some fantasy football stuff to do a little bit later on today.
Yeah?
We're doing voting in our league that we've been doing 15 years on rule proposal changes. You want to hear the one that's got everyone mad at me because it's really bad?
You've proposed a rule
change? I have one rule. Just like, you know, I thought it'd be fun. Like, try it out. I don't think I've ever seen a league that's done this. Cut line. Instead of top six make the playoffs. Just, you know, 8 wins. Everyone above 8 wins, you get entry. And then we'll figure out the full. We can lay it out. We can create. You know, figure out like if there's 5, what it would look like. If there's 4, what it would look like. Maybe have a 2-week championship in some different leagues. But whatever we figure out after, like what the format would be based on how many teams make it. The concept is your fantasy league is how many teams make the playoffs decided on the cut line. How many made it? You don't get in with a losing record.
Yeah. I mean, how often do people get in with a losing record?
Or even a 500 record or something.
12-team league?
14.
Okay.
14.
I don't hate it.
Yeah?
I don't hate it.
It's like a golf cut line.
Yeah, you got to get whatever number. You put your number up, and then you would have a playoff format for 5 teams, 6 teams, 7 teams, 8 teams, 9 teams.
And you can figure that out.
Yeah.
You'd probably never have 9 or more, but even if you did.
But if you did, like, there's a format for that.
Yeah.
9 teams in 3 weeks. You could do that.
Have you ever heard of I don't think there's a fantasy league like that out there.
No.
That I've seen.
No, I don't hate it. People are mad at you about that?
We're getting too cute now with the league.
No,
it's like the NBA with all their all-star like play to 40, maybe. Like, just you're going too far.
Yeah. 803-0550. On the quarterback carousel in the NFL, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and a place that it feels like the league wants him to go. Got the latest from Rodgers because he's talking about what he'd want to consider. We'll get that in. Combine is approaching next week. The Combine from Indianapolis and maybe some Myles Garrett movement at that point. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want. 803-0550 on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I think at this point in Aaron Rodgers' career, he doesn't need to go into an organization where he can call all the shots. And he can just say, I want you to bring in this receiver. I want you to bring in this OC. I want you to bring in this quarterback coach. I want you to bring in this offensive tackle. That's just not going to work. He's already tried that. He needs to just play quarterback, which he does as well as anybody in the history of the game has ever played it. He needs to go somewhere where people are going to tell him, hey, look, we'll handle building the team. We'll handle constructing the offense. And then we're going to try and build this thing. And we're going to try and make it such that we accentuate, you know, your positive. Try to hide some of your negatives, try to hide some of your decline, but we still think you can take us to a high level of play and have us reach some of our goals. Yeah, I think the Rams could be that kind of team for him.
Lewis Riddick on Aaron Rodgers, who may play, may not.
You know, he says all that like, oh, he doesn't need to have all this, this, you know, call all the shots. He doesn't need his own guy.
He just wants to, right?
He's going to want it. You think he's just going to change magically on a dime like that? Maybe, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to want his guys if he were to go anywhere.
Rodgers was leaving a workout in California, was asked if he'd like to return to his home state to play football. He's in California, and like, TMZ got this video. A TMZ reporter asked, would you want to play in California? And he said, you know, warm weather was asked. He noted the sunny warm weather before being asked what he'd look for in a new team. And he said, if they want you, if they've got a good team. So he wants to go to a contender, and you'd have to ask yourself, like, what contender thinks they're Aaron Rodgers away from saving the GM's job? Is that really what you do here? He's going to play for what, one more year? Try to make a playoff appearance? He was not horrendous. Yeah. He was not horrendous at the end of last year. But, again, it's another year added. And if you go and replace Matthew Stafford... Okay, if Stafford leaves the Rams and they go for Aaron Rodgers, that to me is a very odd choice for the Rams, but they could land there.
I'm looking at like the list of contenders, like teams that at least made the playoffs last year, and like Tampa, no, Denver, no, Pittsburgh, we've talked about, like maybe Tomlin gets there. Chargers, no. Packers, no. Texans, no. Rams is the one we've also mentioned, like if they were to trade Stafford. But that's such a lateral move. Baltimore, Detroit, Washington, Buffalo, Kansas City, Philly, all know. The one other team that I skipped over there on purpose. Is it impossible he could take the exact same path as Brett Favre?
Minnesota. No.
Because are they just... like, is McCarthy even going to be healthy? Do they know by the start of the year? Because like the Darnold thing is more about, like, well, do we want to commit all that money for years and years to him? What about the beginning of the year? Like, do they need something that's a veteran to get them through the beginning of the season, potentially, as like a bridge guy? Like, this is McCarthy's rookie year and he's also coming off the knee. So, but like that again, that's the best you're going to do is, I think, hey, come here and you need to know that you know, middle of the season, we're going to want to get him in. Like, at some point, we're going to want to put the kid in. I find it hard to believe he finds a good team, or really any team, that's willing to make him the starter without that kind of side deal. Like, you can be the starter, but you need to know, like, there's a kid right behind you that's ready to play at any point.
Yeah, McCarthy is, what, he had a knee injury that was not supposed to be bad, and then it was bad, and then he missed the
year. He had to go back for, like, a second surgery, yeah. And there was, like, infection stuff, right. So it got a little more complicated, I think, with his injury.
Pittsburgh is the place I see a lot of people suggesting he should go, which would be, I mean, probably a pretty good marriage. Tomlin and Rodgers, they would be on primetime 13 times. Pittsburgh would get to primetime 13 times with Tomlin and Rodgers. I know that's more than you're allowed.
Well, they get flexed out when they were 5-7
right.
In the middle of the season, I think.
803-0550. The Four Nations wraps up with Connor McDavid getting the golden goal. Right now on ESPN's Get Up, PK Subban's on, and they're asking, can the NHL sustain the momentum from this? My yes answer comes with a yes, kind of. It wouldn't shock me if this year's Stanley Cup ratings are final, like not just final, but playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff ratings will be up. If you rolled right from this into playoff hockey, I think you might get a really good boost. But instead of that, what am I going to do? I've got Saturday afternoon Minnesota-Detroit.
Yeah.
It's just a game in the fog of millions of games. And maybe I am a fringe hockey fan that really got into this tournament because of the storylines, but I don't have those storylines in the NHL regular season. I just don't have it.
No.
They're just playing games. Playoff series, I think maybe, you know, maybe what the Four Nations does is it, whatever, scratches an itch, and in a month or two, there's a Colorado game against Winnipeg, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm in the mood for a really high-paced, really fun hockey game because I just got a good dose of that in the Four Nations. I don't know. I don't know how you really ride the momentum of this into Blues Blackhawks.
Yeah, I just don't expect that they will. I don't know. Like, a massive difference or people caring that much more. Like, again, maybe for a couple days they'll get a little bit of a boost, and maybe a Sabre fan will want to watch one of those out-of-town games more than they did before the tournament, but I just think it'll wear off and we'll be right back where we were, which is the regular season games are just kind of there, right? Unless, like, you know, you'll get your playoff races down the stretch, and the Stanley Cup playoffs already has all that, you know, we've been talking about for 2 weeks. You know, like, especially the first and second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, they're intense. They're as good a watch as there is. So who are they trying to capture more of the casual fan in that they didn't have before into that? All right, but I think that their playoffs already have a reputation for being as good as what we just saw over the last 2 weeks. Like, yep. That's not unknown or unheard of, I think, to sports fans, is how good the playoffs are. Just getting people to care about your regular season. And I don't know. I don't think they have it in them, honestly, to get that much care level about their regular season.
Well, playoff races help, and
the thing people will care about the most is going to be Ovechkin.
Yeah, that's probably right.
It's going to be the Ovechkin chase.
The Ovechkin race is back on.
Yeah, like, that's unique to this season. But that is something that'll get everybody in, right? Like, give me a record, and that is where the other sports can give you more storylines like that once in a while. Like, in the NBA, there's been record chases. Maybe not like LeBron had the all-time point chase recently. Steph broke the all-time three-point record. Like, Durant broke a record recently. Football, you see records broken all the time. Like, that's only one small element. But regular season games can be made more meaningful if you've got stars that are chasing down history. And that's actually something that never happens in hockey. You never see that. Why? Because there was like 10 times more scoring in the 80s. So none of those records are really breakable. This is like the one-off, maybe, that Ovechkin is drawing extra attention to the NHL regular season because he's doing something that you see in with Tom Brady and Drew Brees in football, or you saw with LeBron, is, oh, Aaron Judge going for a record. I've got a guy chasing something. Sweet. You never get that in the NHL. You never get... What was Judge wasn't even the real home run record. Right? It was the AL one.
It was the Yankee, and okay. Then it was the AL. Yeah,
but like you don't get the so and so Matthews is chasing down Gretzky's goal record. That's a storyline to watch in the NHL regular season. You should tune in to Leafs Red Wings tonight because the goal to beat is 92. He's never in a million years gonna beat it. No one will. So again, that's only a small part of it. But I think that's one thing why they'll just never get there.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. You mentioned Gretzky. Gretzky and Arruzioni, the two ambassadors.
One wearing a full three-piece suit and the other wearing
Johnny Gaudreau.
It was a Johnny Gaudreau jersey, right?
Yep.
But it was funny to see Arruzioni just in like a hockey jersey and then Gretzky like all...
In a tie.
Yeah, yeah.
If not Arruzioni, who was the next great American hockey ambassador?
My buddies we were with, debating who it was going to be. And I think we all, like, it's going to be Arruzioni. The other...
If not him, who?
Names mentioned were Keith Tkachuk, because his sons were out there, and he's a U.S. legend, isn't he?
Like, if Mike Arruzioni is not available, who's the U.S. call? Is there an obvious answer here?
Mike Modano.
Said that like Mike Modano was a bad hockey player. He's great.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane?
It's not a bad answer.
Isn't he their all-time scorer?
It's Brett Hull. Brett Hull has the most points.
Wasn't there a thing with Brett Hull with like dual citizenship? And Canada got really mad at him that he decided to play for the U.S.
Okay,
that sounds right. Like you're not gonna do like Roenick, right?
No. Jay in Hamilton. Hey Jay, good morning.
Hey guys, I know you're up against it quick. So I mean, this was an amazing 2-week tournament. More than I ever thought I would have got out of it when the first puck dropped in Montreal against Sweden. It was amazing, and I've been missing that kind of hockey for so long. So here's what I'm thinking. There's so much the NHL can do, and we've all talked about this ad nauseum, but I've been on this kick for a long time, which I'll be honest with you, has kind of moved me to why I don't watch the regular season much at all like I used to. If they want to give these players to give a crap about any kind of game in mid or late January or early or mid-February, you've got to finally change the point structure. You've got to give these guys something to play for during these doldrums of the season when you have 3 points on the line. If you're the Sabres and you've got a five-game stretch thing that Lindy's kind of come up with, how many points you want to get in five-game segments. If you know you've got 3-point wins on the table each time, imagine how those players might react to those wins if they say, well, instead of getting two, if we got three, that's 9 points, and you do all the math.
Yep.
And I think the NHL really has to be innovative like that. And I'll say here, if the NHL really wants to be something more than it is, it has to really become way more innovative and try some of this new stuff and get people interested. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay. I mean, I've been a champion of the 3-2-1 point system for decades, and it would improve a lot of things. It would be better. It would be better for the standings. It would be better for the playoff races. It would be better for third periods.
Mm-hmm.
It would be better for the Sabres play tonight, and they're chasing the Islanders. And if the Sabres get three and the Islanders and their out-of-town scoreboard get none or even lose in overtime, it would just be a massive improvement. And that the NHL has dragged its feet and not done it in the interest of keeping the standings close it has never made sense. The fact that they used it in this tournament is probably just for the purpose of tiebreakers. Okay. But a 3-2-1 point system and don't allow coaches to challenge. There is your better future. I'm serious. Get rid of challenges. 3-2-1 point system. Get rid of challenges. Bring the pace to the game back. The game is fast now. The thing that slows games down is 8-minute iPad reviews. And there were none of them in this tournament. And that is not nothing. Not a single coach's challenge in this tournament. So none for goaltender interference. None for offside. Soon the NHL is going to allow you to challenge the puck over the glass. Great. Great. We need that. Need that to be challenged, right?
No, I'm not doing it. Challenging that. That's easy, isn't it?
Just, again, don't challenge anything. Never stop this game from being played. Just go play. Full speed all the time. Anyway, all right. Thanks, Jay. 803-0550, break time. And Mike Catalano, we're talking a little bit on the Amherst, and then, you know, combine prep, Bills offseason prep. We'll talk with Mike Catalano coming up 8 o'clock here on WGR.
Brandon Hagel has tweeted out a screenshot of his final message in his Team Canada group chat. Because he went back and forth with the Kachucks and others, right? Like, oh, we don't need a group chat.
Oh, okay, so this is this tournament's official where we got rid of bulletin board material and we went to group chat material.
Yeah, group chat material.
Put in the group chat.
So he just put a Canadian... All he did was write a Canadian flag in the group chat. Sick burn. More importantly, in the corner... Brandon Hagel, fellow organized chaos fiend with 227 missed text messages.
But that might just be because they won the gold and friends congratulated him.
Everyone in the world probably texted him last night.
He might not be walking around with 220 notifications like you are.
Crap, he's
and you
right.
did not win a gold medal last night.
Dang, he's 100% right.
Also on Brandon Hagel, while
that's,
we're
that's
at
all
it,
that is.
Just to be clear, Brandon Hagel, former Sabre draft pick, who said the Kachucks did it for the cameras.
Yeah.
He then screenshotted his own group chat and posted it to social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Might want to get your story straight there, buddy. Are you doing it for the cameras? It feels like you're doing it for the cameras.
Right.
It's fine.
Doing it for the Insta, I guess, is different than doing it for the cameras.
Yeah, right, yeah. Doing it for the socials. Mike Catalan is going to join us when we get back. Buffalo Plus, WHAM, talk a little bit about the Amherst or... Going to have a playoff run here.
Third and first place.
Yeah, but also combine preview, Bills offseason preview. I'm starting to put together some free agent ideas of the day. The Milton Williams comparisons are worth looking into on the kind of player that he is. He's going to get a big payday. The Eagles defensive tackle, he had a big Super Bowl. Anyway, some ideas out there. We'll talk to Mike Catalano coming up. A little bit of Bills. See what he thought about last night's game as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Congratulations to Canada and Connor McDavid, who scored the golden goal. Of course he did. You can join us if you'd like here on WGR.